Welcome to Interverse Podcast. My name is Chance and I'm your host. We're starting off season two today with a fucking off the chain episode with my good friend Daniel Lesser. Make sure you go check out his work at lesserspace.com or look up Lesser Space on whatever social media you prefer. But I think the website is the best representation because Daniel is not only an amazing graphic designer and artist, he's also a ninja at web development. Daniel has been responsible for the creation of many fantastic digital realms through his expertise in coding, Photoshop, and probably a whole bunch of other shit that I didn't say right there. But other than that, he's a master of his own energy, a true sensei to those around him, a freely open with information and love type of person. So with that being said, I hope you enjoy our conversation as much as I did. I personally got a lot out of it, just like when I met Daniel back at the UNCE earlier this summer in California. And if you enjoy our conversation as much as I did, and you like his artwork, then maybe you should buy a print. I'm sure he'd appreciate it. And if you can't do that, just do us both a favor and share this episode. Just hit the share button. That's all you gotta do. Alright, that's all for now. We'll get on to the episode with Daniel Lesser, and thank you for checking out the show. I super duper love you. So welcome to the show, everybody. This is Daniel Lesser.
Hi, I'm Daniel Lesser. Our name is Lesser Space. I make digital art, make websites, and I really love inspiring people to express themselves, and I also am inspired to express myself a lot.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be linking your art on the page that I put up for this episode, and there's actually, just right behind my head, there's some of your art right there.
Yeah, there it is. Nice chi generation. Yeah. That's one of my favorites.
Yeah, my cat likes it too. Attacks the wall tacks pretty hardcore. But yeah, speaking about chi, we were just kind of talking about how, at least how I was feeling a bit out of whack energetically and did what I know to do to restore the chi flow through my body. And it's
which was meditate
and actually do qigong.
Yeah, so I'm the same way. I've been like very rigidly running for an hour a day for like 4 days a week, every week, the last month or so. And then I also go to the gym 4 days a week, usually on the same day. And so I'm putting my body through a lot right now. But what I feel like I'm doing is eliminating weakness and sort of like fear. And it's like a form of tough love by myself. And I feel like the more healthy and strong and cleaner I get, the more that will reflect out into my life, my art, and mainly into my art. You know, if like I'm putting really high, clean energy into it, other people will see that. And even like the last few pieces I put out, I'm getting a bigger reception and things are shifting and it's exciting. And it's cool that for me, it's very simple. It's just do the gym, go running. It might not be fun, but the second I'm out there, it's fun. And then that's simple, you know. It doesn't take rocket science to go do this.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense that the stronger you make your body and the more you discipline your mind, the more well everything is going to work in your entire experience. I've actually had the same thing, man. The more I get healthy, the more I focus on, like really just focus on self-improvement, and the self-expression is just more and more readily there.
Yeah, I think like, one thing it's important to recognize as humans that we're self-expressing in every little thing we do. I kind of see society as shown this like homogenousness that is comfortable for people. But everything from the way we say hello to the way we shake hands to what we do, what we eat, where it's all self-expression. And that's why I really light up when I see someone call themselves an artist. You know, it doesn't even really matter the medium. It's just in recognizing that self-expression is art and other people will enjoy it, then that is like a lifestyle.
Yeah, that's true. Your life can be your creation more than any one particular thing that you're into doing.
Yeah, like the art pieces are the flowers of it, you know? But it's this whole plant, this whole entity. You got to have health everywhere if you're going to make good flowers.
Yeah, if you're out there and you don't call yourself an artist, why don't you try it just for a day? Just be like, I'm an artist today. What does that feel like? Because it's not like there's a cap on how many people can be an artist. Everybody is, like you're saying, anything that you do, especially things that are repetitive, kind of like programmed behaviors that you don't see as self-expression because you're just doing what everybody else does or you're just doing what you always do. That is self-expression because what you do every day is what you are. I mean, it's that obvious.
So there's a trick in what you just said. The trick is to create, bring art into that everyday system. Mm-hmm. And so you really create a habit out of making art and so that it doesn't become like this task. It's just, it's normal. And honestly, every day won't be the best, but some days it will really just be on point. You know, things will just click. The universe will just download for you. And that habitualization is important. So even if it's small, it's really about consistency and frequency.
Anybody that has ever written or spoken about the muse, which is kind of like what you're describing, that download from source, has always said that it only shows up if you show up, which, of course, that makes sense. You might, and if it does show up in a way for you and you're not a practicing person with a habit of, you know, the thing that you want to make, you might have the best idea in the world, but you'll forget it in a couple of weeks and then it's not going to happen. You know, like write shit down and make moves every day towards what that shit is. It doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah, I think they come along pretty frequently, actually, these big ideas. Mm-hmm. And the more often we're at our canvas, the more often we'll be able to really put them down. Which is awesome.
Yeah, and if you can't do it right then, but you have the habit of like getting home after work and spending 15 minutes at least working on your painting or whatever it is, but in that stretch between when you get home and when you have the idea, instead of being like, oh, I'm at work, I'm kind of bored, you'll be sitting there with your mind racing about what you're going to do when you get home.
Yeah, it's a meditation in itself. Like two of the last 3 days I was making art, I created elements. Like for this last art piece, I created this like center part with it looks like a fancy future gear. So I spent a whole day making that, and then I saved it, put it away. The next day, I came back, started working on some more, added some hues, and then the third day, I took both of those elements and created a whole piece out of them. And that was a cool example of how some of the work I was doing was like momentum towards this bigger piece. Just took a little bit longer, and knowing like. The longer you stick with something, it'll get good. There's going to be a time, kind of like when you plant a garden, it's going to be a patch of dirt. No matter what you planted, it's going to take some time for those plants to come up, and then it'll be beautiful. And so it's having that patience is really important. And like also being really like forgiving and understanding with yourself. I read something that sort of shifted my whole perspective as an artist. There's just something, it's like you are enough. Like as you are right here, right now, today, you are enough. And it's like having that attitude internally. It's like, yeah, you want to, when you feel like that, it feels a lot easier to put stuff down.
Yeah, yeah, it's actually, it's cool. It's a bigger ego that says, I can't do this than the one that says I'm enough. Ironically.
Yeah, we talked about meditating earlier, which is, I think, something all this working out I'm doing is, I think, a form of meditation because it does help calm mm-hmm. the mind. But there's nothing like actual sitting, meditating, and breathing. And it's something I've been trying to increase in my life. I'm finally starting to get like glimpses of it again. And I'll tell you, man, that feels like true power. I highly encourage
you. Yeah, right. I
I hope I can.
That's totally also a problem for me, that I'm like so constantly trying to tell people, like, you need to meditate, you need to meditate. It just kind of popped back in my mind today that my path isn't everybody's path, and that like, it's more important for me to stay in balance because my universe is generated out of me than it is for me to worry right. about if other people are staying in balance. And if those other people that are in my biorhythm are basically also me in a, you know, on a higher metaphysical level, which is, I think, probably what's going on. The same self is in everybody. But, you know, if I keep myself in balance, then that's going to reflect in every interaction. Like, if you have, say, like, positive and negative in terms of electricity, something comes at you and you're one or the other, and there's going to be charge, either repelling or attraction. But if something comes at a neutral person or a balanced person, that the other thing leaves balanced too. So
that's funny. I thought of that exact same analogy at an earlier phase of my life. I remember feeling like if you're on a trajectory, if you're trying to get somewhere, then having a neutral charge would allow you to pass through anything and buy anything.
And change everything else that you pass through to neutral, potentially. You know what I mean? Because you ground things.
We're just getting stuck.
Yeah.
So, balance there is something I learned a long time ago. That was, like, the key to life. And it makes sense. I noticed, like, I get really excited sometimes. I'm like, I get really pumped up. But the longer I can actually stay more even keel, I'm just like, that's really cool. Show me more. And maintain just sort of a more balanced energy. Much further the conversations can go, I've learned. So it's like, I guess the maturity is learning to, like, feels good to get excited like that, but sort of like slowly release it.
Dude, my problem totally. And for me, the issue is that when I'm that excited, I'm not listening anymore. I'm just like all output. And a big part of doing this podcast has been just learning to let the other person fucking speak because I want to say so much. And it's really, in only 20 episodes, I've noticed a change in myself. My significant other has noticed improvement in my...
And your consciousness is on that, and, like, therefore it will yield results faster than if it wasn't.
Yeah, this podcast is a huge exercise in mindfulness.
Especially when I get excited, I like to learn to, like, there'll be, like, an awkward silence, and I'll just keep silent, and then the other person will start to talk, and that's really beautiful to let... to be a listener too. And I wanted to share some with you. I'm working with another friend, Jas of the Elephant Tribe. He makes one of a kind handmade clothing. And he and I are going to be working together. He's going to be printing and using some of my artwork. So we're about to do our first piece. And the piece that his client picked out was Interverse.
What?
Which is one of, it's one of my favorites. And it's funny that I literally, right before this podcast, I sent that to him via email. Weird. And I thought that synchronicity is just really cool.
We're definitely going to use that for the episode artwork for the upload. Oh, yeah.
Interverse is one of my favorites. What it represents is how, kind of what you were saying earlier, how, like, your external reality is actually potentially a reflection completely of your internal reality. And like you were saying, instead of telling other people to meditate, in turn, just meditate more and sort of tell your subconscious, like, everyone meditates.
In their own way.
Everyone meditates. Yeah, if they know it or not, whether they claim it or not, like even when you're sleeping and meditating. So meditation is just a given. I like that approach more. It gives me, you know, if something's going wrong and there's some issue in your existence, your plane of stimulus input, instead of trying to fix it, you're just trying to like, in my head, I'm going to work on, you know, bringing peace to that, bringing love to that, in my own head, in my own mind. And, trying to address things that way.
What you judge as wrong in others is really what you're afraid of being yourself. Because if you had no fear of that being within you, then you wouldn't even care what other people were doing, essentially.
Right. Yeah, it's basically what you perceive in others is really your perceiving about yourself. Mm. You can't see anything that's not within you. it's really far out. But it's good. And there's ways to... increase or improve the state of your reality by improving attitudes. This is ancient Tibetan stuff. And it's just karma. It's like speaking really well about people behind their backs is like one simple recipe to have relationships go really well in your life and to be seen as a leader, just like naturally. Tipping people really well who help you in your financial come up is like a recipe for people to see you as abundant and to help keep that channel strong versus being like stingy and not tipping. And people get that vibe, then maybe the universe will like shut down over to you.
Dude, that makes sense in my life anyway.
So these are things that I experiment with. And hopefully they yield greatness and we'll see. I'm going to keep on.
Yeah, with money, it really is just a type of energy. What's interesting is what is coming with money, because cryptocurrency is definitely on the way in, and we're going to see a whole new type of being able to tip one another, because there's technology on the way right now that's going to make super microtransactions of fractions of a penny really, really easy to do instantly and completely safe and encrypted. So what that'll mean is when you like someone's video or like their status or picture, you're literally paying them. And it's such a small transaction to you, you don't even notice the money gone because it's fractions of a penny. But for people that are constantly doing shit that everyone thinks is rad, they're going to get an income from that. And that's the future of tipping. That's the future of art. That's the future of how musicians are
going
to make money.
It's a beautiful system because it just takes what's already going on and like makes it
work. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I don't know how long it's going to take to be a thing, but it's probably sooner. Probably what will actually manifest will be even more awesome than that, inevitably, because I don't know if you and I both are having the same experience of balancing ourselves more and more and our world reflecting that more and more. Who's to say we're not heading into a really cool future instead of all the doom and gloom that the outside media wants to tell you about?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I kind of go back and forth, but I think I've been able to spend more of my time on the writer side of things. And I do know, like, one thing I work on is being present in the moment, because the future and the past, the further you get away from the moment, the more like fictitious and fabricated and just totally imaginative it becomes. And the present moment, I've had like experiences where it can be really blissful if you truly just like get lost in the moment. In fact, every moment of your life could be the best moment of your life. I know, like, I've been on the way to a festival before and friends are talking about what we're going to do when we get there. And like, guys, we're all here together right now. Like, this is a beautiful moment. And like, I actually felt that. And they're like, yeah, I mean, it's going to be fun when we get there too.
Yeah, but we get so focused on our destinations that we don't even notice what's right there.
Yeah, we're all like alive. Every heartbeat is like a gift.
Your heart never even stops beating the whole time.
I know. It's pretty
true. It's crazy, dude. It's crazy. Like, we're in the most sophisticated.
Really, like, proud. Like, dang.
Hold up. That was my experience today, because not only was I not breathing as well as I normally would think I should while meditating, but my heart was just racing. And
that's so weird. That was the exact same thing I had today. I was at the beach, and my heart was pounding.
I think it's nicotine for me.
Yeah, I did smoke a couple of cigarettes last night, so I got to try and get it.
Well, I had a really cool experience in this particular meditation, because instead of just sitting there with my mind telling me, hey, you should probably quit, hey, you should probably quit, and me just sitting there letting it repeat, instead what happened was I was like, yeah, when I get up, I'm going to take the batteries out of it, I'm going to unscrew it, and I'm going to call my friend Brendan and see if he wants to buy it. And it was just like that. It was like the choice. I don't know. There's something weird about choices. It's like, when do you actually make a choice? It felt like it was just decided, and I was happy for it, because it takes a lot of the pressure off.
This is, I moved into metal prints.
Awesome.
Now. Yeah, so they do a really good job. It's a local company in Santa Cruz called
Are you shipping these?
Yeah, so I can sell these. I'm selling these right now for $125. Yeah, they get shipped out. Now, I'm doing a website redesign on my site right now where I'm going to be featuring some of the artists that I've had the honor of working with. One reason I started to really put a lot of energy into being an artist was simply because of the fact that I was hanging out with some really high caliber artists, designing websites and branding for them with them. And I just realized how good it felt. Each of these individuals is like a complete joy to be around, because they're like self-proclaimed, self-expressive beings who are on a mission to put themselves out and down for the world to like absorb.
They answer only to themselves.
Yeah, I mean, one of my clients says he answers to his team. But yeah, I mean, he's free. And that's kind of where I'm at. I'm quasi-free. I work almost every day, but I start my work day when I want. And some days I work a lot, some days I don't work a lot. But yeah, if I can figure optimize more, which I'm doing. And also, I made more of my income from making websites, and now I'm shifting to really build up the inner strength to make enough money selling art. So it's daunting to me in the weirdest way. Like, I can lift hundreds and hundreds of pounds, no problem. But like, to call this place and to say, yeah, I have this art, it's for sale, it's beautiful, let's do this.
What's amazing is it's all a mindset. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. First you have to value your art properly, or like, you know, you have to that's a self-respect thing. That's a huge hurdle for many people. You know, they want, it's really easy to just like, yeah, I'll give you a deal on this. But when you whenever you do that all the time, that's the energy you put out into the world, kind of like you were talking about with choosing to tip extra, putting out the energy of abundance. So if you put out the energy that, no, this is what I value my art for, if you want it, that's what it costs, usually you don't have to even say that. And I've heard wire rappers tell me that whenever they started pricing their raps more highly and they would just start with that number, they would have a lot more, like, I'll buy it right now, sales from people, because the other person responds to that value that you put on your art and that respect you have for yourself, and it gives them the confidence that they're buying something that's worthwhile.
I fully agree with that. There's people who want to feel the value, and that's how a value is felt, is through a price. You know, if you sell someone something for a dollar, it doesn't matter what it is, it still felt like a dollar. And that same thing sells for $1,000, then it's just like there's a natural law there almost.
Yeah, I met some people at a festival that I was at in Oklahoma who made, well, it was a woman who did all the art, I believe, but I don't think anyone else at the shop was doing it, but it was clay dread beads and other really cool clay devices like roach clips and stuff like that, that are really amazing. Like, she was a human 3D printer, had all kinds of animals and symbols and shapes that she'd created. And she would do commission work at the festival. She'd make you whatever you asked for, and you'd come pick it up in a few hours or the next day. And it was awesome stuff. But she was selling these beads for $2 that she was putting hours and hours and hours. Like, really, she literally put like 6 hours, it felt like, into the one that she made for me.
She'd be like $20.
Right. But like, and I don't say this in a judging way, but like, her and her group were very obviously lower income means, like, for sure. And it wasn't because that they weren't talented or couldn't accomplish more. It was just like, that was what they were valuing their stuff at. I kind of like what you said, paying people more for stuff or tipping people. I actually paid her quite a bit more than what she was asking for, because
that's funny. That's the same thought I had. That's beautiful. You just went ahead and did that. Yeah, I think everything you're saying is true. Some people have different needs, and some people have, it almost feels like a little old school, because like, things used to be a lot cheaper and $2 was a lot more.
Yeah. And they were somewhat older too.
Plus, you never know someone's financial situation.
Maybe they just don't have that much of a need.
Or maybe some people might have like tons of money and they just like present themselves humbly, and maybe they don't need the money at all.
Yeah. Who knows?
It's like, yeah, all these judgments we cast and we assume, it's really just ourselves we're seeing.
Yeah, it's so true. Because, I mean, there was like an even older lady in that tent that was telling me all kinds of crazy stuff about like, tonight's the night, if we wanted to, we could ascend and into this entire thing and be on the next level. And she was like saying all kinds of shit that was totally coherent, but I was like,
right.
Like, maybe she was right though. Maybe they've already got the source upgrade and they're just hanging out down here to tell people about it.
Yeah, I think having fun, the more
no biggie.
Right, so yeah, I would say the more farther along this path I get, I don't know, it's still, there's still so many times where it feels really hard. Like, life feels difficult. But there's also moments where I'm getting into, like, more and more blissful states. That feels good. I think, I guess what I, one thing, I, one, like, approach that I'm kind of using is that what's holding me back from achieving my dreams in a bigger way is, like, little deeper things, little, like, emotional injuries or just parts of my psyche that need to be fixed somehow or like healed. And so I'm trying to learn about how to access subconscious and learning about my own past, like what experiences I went through. There's like one particular event that was pretty traumatic in my life, especially it was Hurricane Katrina. I was a senior in high school starting the first week of school, and I was playing football. I had a girlfriend I was crazy about. Things were really, like, everything was dialed in. I had life figured out as, for a 17-year-old. And then Katrina hit, and my home was just gone. Like, all my stuff got flooded. I went to some boarding school by myself, like, a week or two later. And just, like, the whole world got turned upside down. And then eventually things got pieced back together, and I went to college next year, and things just moved along. But, like, the more I stop and think about it, the more it's like, dang, I really need to, like, heal this somehow. It's, so... I think doing like interverse work, like just sending love to that, and kind of talking to my subconscious, being like, you know, that's okay now. Everything's good.
I have a theory about like one way to access that type of healing that is like, it's an idea that's kind of come to me through a bunch of different smaller ideas that I've pieced together, you know. And the final piece of the puzzle was watching an episode of Rick and Morty that was about the multiverse and about. Yeah, so it's the one about uncertainty, right? And I'm thinking, while I'm watching it, what if that's really exactly what goes on? Like, we're these multidimensional beings that whenever we're not certain about things, we split off into multiple directions. And people who are artists, for example, who are living their authentic truth, they have more certainty. That's what gives them more, like, self-power, because there's fewer of themselves spread out across the parallel timelines, and they can actually access more because of that. And if that's the case, then you have to look back on your life and see where there's like big uncertainty points, and traumatic things would definitely be uncertainty points. Look back on that, and if you can reflect upon it and find the like find a balanced perspective about it and not be like, man, what would it have been like if that hadn't happened? Instead, just be like, I'm sure that this happened to get me here, and this is where I want to be.
Oh, yeah.
Then you can, like, restore a little bit of that damage.
It's even, like, a faith thing. Like, that had to happen to get me here. Zero way I could have seen myself ever coming here. Otherwise, I was, like, really set this traditional New Orleans upbringing.
If you have that perspective, it's hard not to be, like, okay with the past then.
Totally. I think the part that has pain associated with it is more of like the unresolved like ending of relationships and friendships.
Which is uncertainty in a sense. You're like, what could have happened? And there's a you that goes off in a universe where that didn't happen, and you got to go and experience those relationships because you're uncertain about it.
Well, also I think it's a good expression of nature, just like a natural order, which is like death. Death comes and it's over. It's not like you really can prepare for it. Maybe you can, I don't know.
If you're lucky.
But like Katrina was a death in a way because it was really unexpected. You know, I was but I did recognize a long time ago like that silver lining of moving to California. I gotta say, if anyone's thinking about moving to California, definitely I highly recommend it. This is a place that encourages radical self-expression and embracing your own individuality. The norm here is not norm, I'd even say, to some extent, which. I had a lot of fun being expressive and you know, I dressed up as like a furry creature and go dancing parties and made a lot of friends that way. And I think California is beautiful, and getting to move out here was definitely the gold mining of Katrina. And, it helped put me on this path that I think I've been on forever, and which is to put out music and to put out art, visual art, audio art that really get people to smile at a really deep level, think, and be inspired, like kind of like lighting a fire.
If you've been on the path forever, it's not the path that's been moving, it's only you.
Yeah. The path just has
the path has always been the path. It's always been that exact path. But how you approach it is up to you. That's the way you move on it, essentially. Like, what type of creation are you manifesting through the path?
Yeah. I think, I wonder sometimes if that path is there and we're on it, then sometimes it feels like we can just do little and just, like, not do too much because it's already the path that's taken care of. And I think there is, like, that's somewhat true, but kind of like if we can up our energy level, then we'll automatically have a richer experience. And that's kind of where I'm at, just trying to figure out how to get my energy higher than it's ever been and keep pushing it. Some things, like, I like to be in the sun. I think the sun is magical. I think it's like the ultimate abundance. It's an organizing energy. Like, it took the cloud of matter that it was and squished it down into a disc and made planets that all have their own lanes and now, like, life's on the planet and now really organized, intricate system that the sun, you say it's random, but the sun just sort of like handled that and it's constantly just putting out that energy.
It's just so, like the heart that never stops beating, and then if the solar system's a body.
Yeah, and then, like, as kids, we spend all our time in classrooms and a lot of people spend all their time indoors. And so, one of the cool things about working myself is that I have time in the morning to go out, go running, go to the beach, go for a hike, just anything where I'm absorbing some sun. I really like to do that for an hour before I go into art, because that, like I said, it's taking that organizing energy and then you have that.
Really consistent weather there too, right?
Yeah, it's consistently like all four seasons every day.
Yeah, here I've got literally the entire range of possible weather. It all happens here. But this time of year, it's really great. You mentioned wanting to raise your energy levels. Have you tried anything as far as like purification through different types of cleanses, like cleansing different internal organs with specified systems that are out there to do that? Or like, I did a colon cleanse several months back, and I started having way more intensely psychedelic experiences without psychedelics pretty much consistently, and it's been just switched on since then.
That's awesome. I learned that there's like some of like 15 or 20 pounds of feces in our like intestines at all times.
No, not me. I got it cleaned out.
Yeah, by removing a lot of that, it's extremely healthy. I did one cleanse, an Ayurvedic cleanse, about a year ago, and I remember towards the end of the cleanse that my energy got so clean. I made an album.
Wow!
In like the matter of a week, I just was like every day I wrote it and then I cleaned it up for the rest of the month. But I did the bulk of the work in about 7 days. And that's the last few days of the cleanse, and just talking about it makes me really think. To A, do that more, and then to B, also I'm doing this other type of cleanse, sort of, it's like Kangen water, so it's like alkaline water. I'm just trying it for myself. Some people really swear by it, some people believe in it. I noticed a difference, like when you drink it, it feels like it absorbs like almost instantly.
Interesting. Water is like a hard drive, kind of. I mean, the way that it holds frequencies and things like that, it makes a lot of sense that you would want to prioritize having clean water over a lot of other things. And the alkalinity issue, I've been learning more about that as I was doing some research about how to improve my diet based on my blood type. And I got an alkalinity mix that you can just kind of stir into water. And it's not just baking soda, it's a couple other things too. And that I noticed, weirdly enough, it changed the smell of my body odor, because I was worried that I was getting really acidic because I was having like nasty onion smelling armpits and it didn't make sense. And
I started doing that alkalinity drink, and that went away. And now I just sort of do it every once in a while. I don't really see it as something I need for maintenance, but it's...
Yeah, I think BO is a sign that we definitely reflect what we eat at all levels. And I think I personally used to smell a lot worse than I smell nowadays.
Yeah, I don't smell too bad, I don't think. If I've had a really, like, long run without a shower, sure. Like, festy stink, but that's normal.
I use a lot of essential oils. I got into it, like, the longer you spend in California, man. I got the crystals, I got the essential oils.
I'm with
oils.
You on all of that. Let's talk about it.
All this stuff. I've got, like, a table full of crystals, and some nights I'll go and, like, put a palette together. Grab a couple crystals and put them in my workspace. I got a little tourmaline right here. Oh yeah, I'll grab one too.
Yeah, I had somebody wanting to do an art trade for one of my originals, and no one's had interest in an original of mine before, so I was excited. And he was going to trade me a really crazy wrap that tourmaline and moonstone and some other things, and it looked like an alien skull.
Yeah. Did you guys go through it?
I think I'm going to, yeah. I have to continue negotiations, but...
Cool. I hope that goes through.
There's a dude I met at a fest, so I saw it in person, and I just got really... I reacted to it strongly, and he was like, you need this. We got to find out a way to make this happen.
Yeah, that makes me think of a piece of advice I'd really like to share with anyone, aspiring artists, or someone who even is considering it. It's like, in the beginning, you want to bring your art around with you. And show people, because say out of like 10 people you show, there'll be at least one person who will just light up, and it won't be like a fake, right? It'll be like a true, genuine excitement. And I remember the first few of those I had were at festivals, and I'd show people one of my prints, and like one girl was like, oh my God, she went and like got all her friends around. They were sitting on a bus, and like for 20 minutes, I swear they're all just like looking at this. Maybe not that long. I don't know. I ended up gifting it to her. And I was just so moved. I was like, holy cow. That was magical to me. And, you know, I had a couple of experiences similar to that, which put a lot of weight behind my momentum. And, so you got to just have that. You know, some people were like, oh, that's cool. Some people barely said anything. Some people liked it a lot. Some people wanted to buy it. But even the people who wanted to buy it, that wasn't as exciting as, like, this one girl's reaction.
Yeah, so, man, I know exactly that feeling, honestly. And the only downside to that kind of a catalyst is you have to be aware that the opposite can happen, and you have to not let that phase you. Like, you know, some random person on the internet that just be like, that's shit, man, you're an idiot for no reason, and you just gotta not even care about that.
Yeah, I mean, I have a theory about haters, though. I think... Honestly, like, haters are a massive indicator of success.
Right, exactly.
I personally don't have that any real haters that I know of, or like, and so I'm always kind of even looking forward to the day where someone comes on and just like starts to try and give me shit about my art, because I see some of my friends who are doing really well in their careers, and they definitely have haters. And so I say that for like every time you get a hater, your following is doubled. It's like an exponential growth point. Every hater you get, you got 20 haters, damn, you're huge.
Yeah, and if you stay neutral, then the hate can't do anything anyway. So it's just like, oh, look at that. Neat.
Yeah, well, neutral is like no charge. That's the opposite. Hate and love are kind of similar. It's like a heavy charge. They're both far.
They're polarized, yeah.
Right. And so, if you
love might not be
the
opposite of hate, though.
I think the opposite is not the right word. It's an equivalent in a different like way. You can tell like if say a couple breaks up and then they hate each other and they're like constantly arguing and stuff, they're not done. They're just like they're still very charged.
Yeah, there's like a pendulum swing happening.
Right, and it's when the pendulum, if like they break up and then they stop talking and then they truly just like don't even think about each other. That is an actual. Like,
well, I don't think it's love in that case. I think the attachment is what causes the pendulum to swing from hate back over to the other side. So maybe, because like, you can love someone and totally walk away from them and never see them again, and you know that that's the right thing because you love them. But if you're really attached to somebody, it doesn't matter what fucked up shit they just did to you. You're like, we have to make this work, you know?
Yeah, that's really insightful.
I just like put that in context of my relationship. There is no pendulum swing that happens with us. It's just like a constant neutral state. And we're always like, we have plenty of love for each other and affection and all that. But I think with the attachment removed and therefore like the conditions on each other removed, then there's not going to be a heaviness that draws the pendulum towards some kind of polarized outburst like a fight.
Wow. You want to share any like tips on how to actively work on decreasing attachment and those tendencies?
Oh man, I think the key for me was that, I guess when I went into the situation or the relationship I'm in now, which, okay, I'll reveal this on the podcast, everybody, I'm getting married. Whoa, yeah, right. I haven't told the podcast audience yet. But anyway, yeah, super excited.
Well, that's a big deal. Congratulations.
So neither of us were looking for the other whenever we met, or looking for an other at all. And actually, it's weird. When we met, there was sort of like a metaphysical, psychedelic reality shift that happened to both of us. And to make a long story short, we both noticed each other, felt intense energy, and both acknowledged it, and were just like, what's going on here? Why do you feel so crazy like a fire when I stand by you? And we put our foreheads next to each, or like on each other, and then we've been together ever since. It's weird. It's sort of hard to really explain what's going on there. But there was never like, what I will say is there was never an attachment to begin with, because there was never like, oh, that person, I'm going to try to woo them and make them like me. And it's that person that I'm specifically attracted to. In our case, it was like, I mean, it was literally like I saw myself in another being. I felt that it was myself in another body. Like, they talk about twin flames being the same soul, but too large for one human, and so it gets put into two. And I really actually feel that that is what's going on, honestly, because, like, we have the same Briggs-Meyer personality profile, we found out, because she had to take a psych class that had that as an exercise. So I don't know. There's some very interesting synchronicities with our personalities, with our astrology.
Well, it sounds like you guys were both like pretty solid before mm-hmm. you met. And like, that's one thing I personally worked on for a long time after I had some breakups. I was like single intentionally for years and got to where I am today, which is like, I feel really good just actually being on my own. And I can't really imagine, well, now things are like getting better and brighter in the world. I guess possibilities are starting to come into view of like anything's possible. And I've learned communication is key. Like, just talking about all kinds of things, bringing things up that could be uncomfortable, but as soon as they're talked about, they become comfortable. Mm-hmm. If there was anything that's uncomfortable for you, then sometimes it's good to just like explore those things. And that creates this sense of trust. And
mindful attention neutralizes anything.
That's really cool. So you guys felt this. There was no like effort really needed for this bond. This bond is just strong, intense, naturally. Yeah. Both acknowledged that and communicated that, and it's like, that gives me a lot of hope. So thanks for sharing that. Because you know, I've sensed that to different degrees at previous points in my life, and it's such a good feeling. It's so cool. Check this out. I've got here. I don't know if you see it. It's a piece of fluorite. Nice. Let's see.
Yeah, I'm rocking my giant well, it's not super giant, but it's like a selenite tower, and I've got some tiger's iron, muggle stone here. What was that last one you just held up?
This is the gangster crystal here.
Oh, yeah.
That's tourmaline.
Really green.
Yeah, it's green, blue, and clear.
Whoa.
That's what I
said. Yeah, that wrap I'm thinking about trading for has got a really nice green tourmaline that's super bright.
Let me check this one out. This is the 4A.
Oh, yeah, it's way better with the light, the green and purple.
Yeah, this thing is one of my favorites. It's got these, like, quartz clusters on it. It looks like a little galaxy, cubic little galaxy.
Yeah, so have you had any life changes that you can attribute to bringing crystals around? I'm curious.
It's hard to say. I think there's a phase in my life where I was kind of in a darker place. And I think at a deeper level, I remember the first time I became sensitive to crystal. I had been in California for a while, and I had seen crystals all over, and I still didn't take them too seriously. I thought they were cool. You know, something to have a few was cool, but then I was at my friend's house one day, and I was like touching some of his crystals, and I picked up one crystal, and I got goosebumps from head to toe. And I was like, well, I felt like it was from the crystal, but I couldn't be sure, so I put it down, and like 15 minutes later or so, I come back, I pick it up, and the same thing happens again. Like, whoa. So I asked my friend, like, hey, man, can I trade you for this? He's like, you can have it. It wasn't anything too special. It was, like, I think a piece of smoky quartz or, like, it was a small, cloudy crystal. I actually had a lot of difficulty identifying it. Yeah. But I just started pondering it. Like, what could that be? And so I came up to this conclusion that, like, a crystal is a frequency state of matter that is just, like, permeating this frequency at all times.
Stable.
And, yeah, it's a stable frequency. And so we're frequency beings as well. And so by using these crystals, you're just tampering with frequencies. And I can't make any claims from that, but, like, I tend to be open-minded about sort of, like, the mechanics of the universe in that degree. And I see having these around is probably a good idea.
Yeah. I mean, the people wouldn't have... If you just want to go based on experience data, there's enough cultures for hundreds and thousands of years that have attributed different properties to crystals long enough that you...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, everyone can't be just bullshitting, right?
Yeah, have you heard of the Lemurians?
Yeah.
So apparently the Lemurians had amulets with a big crystal over the third eye. And it was for the purpose of amplifying their pineal gland power.
Makes sense.
And check this out. So this is I learned this down when I went to Chichen Itza for 2012. You need a smaller crystal with a pretty nice flat facet face, but the pineal gland apparently has like crystalline magnetic properties.
Whoa. All right, just for the audience at home, he's got a piece of tourmaline just sticking to his forehead, and he's not tilting his head back or anything. Just sitting there.
So with a slightly smaller crystal, you can actually get down to push-ups. Shown this by leading a crystal workshop at down in Chichen Itza, and he walked around and like first he showed everyone and talked about how the third eye is like magnetic towards crystals.
Wow, man!
And then he showed us, and then he walked around and showed every single person. He had this really cool crystal from China. He said it was the best one he'd ever used. And sure enough, when I put it on for the first time, I felt, no joke, like a tingling tiara like crawl around my head and like over my head. And I felt it just like loop and it was on. It felt different and you could do that.
Wow.
Stay on. It's definitely something
when I've been
to play
high
with,
enough, like I've definitely felt that sort of field around my head. It makes your head feel bigger almost. But I'm definitely going to play around with that. That's really wild and not surprising, but only surprising in that I've never heard of this because it's amazing.
It is really peculiar how it's like very not in history anywhere. Like they don't teach us a lick about crystals anywhere in the prescribed education.
Look at all the other shit that they don't want you to know and how important or cool it is. I think that if this reality is in some way an experience that we're meant to grow through, then all the resistance that's put between us and these tools and these expanded parts of ourself essentially are the resistance is there so that, you know, you can only access it through intent. That way people who don't have strong enough will or intent don't get their hands on the world destroying stuff. You know? I mean, that's how I see it.
Yeah.
Like, then
yeah, you have to pass through a labyrinth to get to it. But
and that's the path.
The quest of life.
Keeping your intent.
Yeah, the quest of life.
Wow.
I would, yeah. I think it's a much happier existence to just believe that we're going to, like, break through and have this incredible future where, like, technology really makes life beautiful and it restores the planet to something incredible. And we have temples everywhere, flying vehicles and zero emissions and organic food and, like, good education and good healthcare worldwide, no more poverty. Like, all of that's within our reach today.
There's no reason to believe otherwise.
Except for maybe right. So I feel like, yeah, hopefully.
It's just up to us to do it.
I think the more of us that believe in it too, the more just optimistic that's going to be, the better off we are. You know, like mass belief in the human consciousness could play a role in things.
So, and like we were saying about, you know, you only need to do it yourself in terms of keeping yourself in balance. That goes for anything that you want to see changed in the world. If you want organic food, start a garden. If you want, you know, if you want clean energy, figure out how to get your house solar powered. All of these things are within our reach as individuals to change within our lives, and that's actually the only way the collective will change.
That's true.
But you have to believe you're an artist of your own life and you're able to create a different canvas for yourself before you're going to actually get out of the mold that you started out in.
Have to do these things for the life to
but you don't have to do any one thing in particular, guys that are listening. Just do your thing and don't be a dick.
Be a nice smile. It actually helps. You don't actually have to smile. You can do this to people. They dig that. You know, you're like,
just
cause you're smiling.
Acknowledgement. I'm going to try that, dude. I grin like a goofy bastard all the time, and maybe people would take me a little more seriously if I was just like, yeah.
That's what people want, just like that.
Cool acknowledgement.
Like cool acknowledgement, exactly. In a way they can relate to, you know, use your observation skills. Try and like read people.
Man, you're teaching me a lot, which is part of why I wanted to have you on the show and just because I want to show everybody your stuff.
Awesome.
I'm reminded of when we met back at the UNTS. You said something to me that totally stuck with me and I've transmitted to so many people. And that was, you're talking about like helping others. And you gave me the, I want you to tell it now, just like explain the difference between helping, you know, pushing a turtle up the stairs versus helping people move something heavy.
Oh yeah, I remember. There's two types of helping. Helping for your own, there's healthy helping and unhealthy helping. And a lot of us tend to not be able to differentiate, and it's okay. Just being able to differentiate will help everyone out. And the metaphor of the turtle is the great example. There's this turtle and he's at the base of stairs and he's just like stuck and he's looking, he's trying to get up the stairs. And here you come along and you see the turtle and you see this chance to help. So you pick up the turtle and bring him to the top of the stairs and put him down. So then you come back and then there's the turtle and he's pissed. And he's like, dude, what the hell? Where have you been? I need you to get me back down the stairs. And now you basically have like enabled this turtle to do something that it couldn't have done on its own. And in a way, you put it in a spot where
it could fall down the stairs and get killed.
Yeah, so the better thing, the more mature thing to do is to like let the turtle realize that there's got to be another way or maybe evolve to the point where it can get there. But ultimately to
turn into a ninja turtle,
not help people in that way. The right way to help people is like if someone needs your help, like I said, to move something heavy, where I don't know how did I explain that last part?
I'll tell this part. So you're walking through your apartment through the hallway and you see these four guys trying to move a big dresser down and get it through a door, and it's just kind of stuck and they don't have the strength. And you just sneak up and with one hand you help them push over the hump, and then they get over and they're fine, and then you dip before they even notice you were there.
Oh yeah, I did that this last festival. This girl's pulling a cart, it was really heavy, and so I just came up behind and didn't say anything. I just started pushing it lightly and like she just started going faster. She didn't look back. She was like loving it. And then like finally the barrier, she looks back, she's like, you know, I thought maybe someone was helping, but I didn't know. Thank you. And I was like, all right.
That's so funny. But in that example, you helped the other people to do something that they were capable of doing themselves. They just needed that little extra push. And, you know, next time they'll believe they can do it, and they'll probably not need you next time either.
Yeah, it's like it's a different style of health.
Healthy
I
help.
Feel it. Yeah, I try. Yeah, I mean, if someone's like coming to you and they're asking for help to get something, like, I generally, honestly, it doesn't really occur too much in my life anymore. I think I've like calmed that karma down. Then I kind of think like what we experience in life is kind of like an indicator of what we need to work on. And, or if it, like life's all good and joy, then things are going great. And life's getting better for me personally, but there's definitely still elements that I like. I want them to get better.
Well, you know, it's all infinite, so there's no top of the ladder. There's just the ladder. No
well,
destination.
I think, yeah, like helping out,
just path.
Helping others in a way that's in line with who you are too. Like, I feel inspired to get art out, my art and other artists' art as well, because I truly see it as like medicine for the soul, inspirational. Like that's a way where I can help people and be true to my cause, like, you know, feel like a badass. So, I think through helping people too, we also derive the ultimate satisfaction in life, like the contentment, the peace. Otherwise, I could, you know, I find like. So it was almost like
gives you a purpose.
It feels like it gives me a purpose on this planet, and like a ticket almost, like the reason why the planet's better off when I'm here is that I help other people's lives get better. That's good.
It's validating for sure. I mean, nothing has to mean anything in the grand scheme of infinity. And that's why you're allowed to make your own meaning for things. And you're definitely not the only person that's finding meaning through helping others. And that's, I really appreciate that sentiment. And I really appreciate you coming on the show. I think I'm going to move towards wrapping this up. And I want you to give me any plugs for stuff you want to promote.
Yeah. Well, I'm working on putting a show together that will be in Fresno. I'll have more details soon, but it should be in January. So it'll be my first art show. And then I'm going to be working on a number of First Fridays. I plan on attending festivals in the upcoming year. And then creating art live. So that should be a lot of fun. And over the next month or so, I'll be developing my website to feature artwork of mine and other artists. And then availability to purchase prints and acquire this art. Sort of where I'm at in the art world.
You're going to have to let me know whenever you're ready to launch that, because I would love to have you back on here or any other time that you ever want to reflect on something or promote something, because, you know, we talked an hour, but we could go indefinitely, I feel like. So, you know, open invitation to come back, and, you know, if we can't line up a show right whenever you're putting up that website, still send me links and let me do some cross promotion with you, because I mean, I really just want to see some of the shit that's up there. As a budding artist myself, it's always cool to see what other people are doing, and sometimes if you're really putting in the time and the work, your brain will even click and go, oh, I see how I would do that, and then you're off.
Yeah, well, hey, I want to say thank you so much for having me on the show, and thank you to everyone who's listening for your time. It's really fun being an artist. It's just like a tipping point, I'd say, where the self-doubt and like that kind of goes away, and it just becomes fun. And so definitely stick with it. And thanks, Chance. I'll definitely be back on the show. It'll be exciting to see what happens.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks very much, Daniel. Much love. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Bye.
Just love it.